Hi, my name is Elise and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Elise.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to come tonight and share my story. I've struggled with abusing substances since probably around the age 6. My first drug of choice was always food. It was always been kind of like a coping mechanism for me. Unfortunately, I was dealing with some sexual abuse from a family member that was considered a youth group pastor, and various degrees of being bullied for being overweight. Despite being in therapy for most of my life, I was never really taught like healthy coping skills or even really communication skills. It was always more of how to hide myself and make myself less of a target for bullying. It was great. I do come from a long line of alcoholics. My mother got sober when I was, 4 years before I was born, so that puts her at about 37 years sober now. And my aunt also has around the same time period, but both of their parents were also alcoholics. I was always really thankful for my mom going to AA meetings. I grew up around it for the most part. I remember being in elementary school and she ended up taking my sister and one of her friends to a meeting with her because she found empty bottles of Boone's Farm in my playhouse. So it was great. My alcoholic drinking didn't really start until I was probably around like 22. I drank in high school between there, but it was never really questionable if I was an alcoholic. Like, I didn't always have an off switch, but I was doing the same thing that all my peers were doing. So it never really put up a red flag for me. At 22, I was the biggest I'd ever been. After losing about 30 pounds and gaining 70 pounds back, I decided to have weight loss surgery. They cut out 80% of my stomach, and I could only eat or drink about 2 tablespoons at a time for about a year or so. I dropped a lot of weight. I found a new confidence in myself, and that confidence was always brought out by alcohol. I was no longer considered the fat friend in the corner because of all the new confidence. And a lot of my friends didn't really appreciate this, especially my best friend of 18 years. I started going down to the bar that was near my parents' house. And I was hanging out with everybody, but then it eventually got to the point where I wanted more. So I always would go by myself. It was all new and exciting for me, but it was also pretty dangerous at the same time. I was always that person to have a conversation with anybody. I didn't know a stranger. And I was happy about that. I made a lot of friends. I've had really great conversations, but yeah. My best friend wasn't really like this, and it caused a lot of tension. So we stopped really hanging out with each other, and especially when I decided to come out of the closet to everybody. She didn't really believe me or accept me, and she was no longer a safe friend for me to be around. A little after that, my body decided to start attacking itself. Half of my body was numb and not functioning, and the other half was always in extreme pain. My partner and I at the time decided that it was best that we leave the area and go venture on. We decided to move across the state and start going to college. But I was still in constant debilitating pain, but beer always made it better. It got to the point where I was drinking at home pretty much by myself every night. And I had a really hard time making friends after I moved, and especially I was still kind of bitter about losing my best friend. And to be honest, I really didn't want any. I was fine by myself, drinking my beer. Eventually I did start hanging out with a few people from university, but that were in my department, of course. And I got invited out to a party, but long story short, I screwed up and my fiance and I decided to split. It wasn't for long, but we split for a while. He went back home for a couple weeks to get away, clear his head before having to come back and, I guess, have that conversation with me. But I decided I wanted to go out and have some fun. So I went down the street from my house to this bar that was next to campus, and I met this guy, and he had also gone to school for the same thing that I was studying, so it was great. We had great conversation. We sat there for a couple hours and talked and everything, and then it was time to go. We said our goodbyes, and I went home. Well, at that time, I lived in a basement apartment that was on the other side of the driveway, so it was kind of a scary walk back. When I walked to the front door, I heard something behind me, and I turned around to check, and he was standing right there. He decided to fight his way into my apartment, and I remember my rock collection going flying, but thankfully I kind of blacked out the rest of the evening, but when I woke up, my body could tell me exactly what happened. So at this point in my life, I knew that I had a problem, but I wasn't really ready to quit drinking. It was my best friend, and it was the best coping mechanism that I had found that made everything a little bit better and easier to deal with. But I decided to give AA a shot. And I started attending a few meetings, but I never could stay sober. Half the time I had to have a beer before I could even walk into the room to face everybody. But my drinking just kept getting worse. It almost became like a ritual for me. I did the same thing day after day after day, and I had to. I couldn't break away from that cycle of my drinking. So I kept all the details about what happened to myself there for a while. It probably took me about a year to finally start being honest. And it was after I went to the school psychologist to get help for my drinking and my depression. And she ended up having me committed against my will. I told her I didn't want to live this way anymore, but it's not like I wanted to unalive myself. So I didn't really quite understand what was going on. But honestly, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Yeah, it sucked, but it finally gave me the chance of being honest and in a safe place. They ended up setting me up on a waiting list for a rehab that was in the next town over, but I decided I didn't have time for that. I was entering my junior year of college, and the course load and the research activities were really stacking up. And I still couldn't stay sober. So I decided to start going to meetings again and found this little lady that came up to me and embraced me with the biggest hug and told me that I would know peace. I needed peace. That's what I needed. They kept telling me to come back, so I did. I'd get a good streak of sobriety, and then I'd relapse, and I'd get another good streak, and then I'd relapse again. And this probably went on for probably about 8 months or so. But they kept telling me to come back, so I did. I got into the routine again of grabbing a beer, and then I'd go drive around the mountains just to kind of get away from everybody. And then I'd get to a destination, I'd grab another one, and I'd drive home. And by the time I got home, I had like two or three more in my car after telling myself that I wasn't even going to have that one that night. So I spent forever trying to get sober, but never really getting sober. I was just kind of became like a meeting maker. I never formally really worked the steps. I kind of had every excuse in the book not to. School was too much. Life was too much. But the desire to stop drinking was always there, but the phenomenon of craving was always so much stronger. I had to go to a conference where I was presenting the research that I'd put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into. And this was one of my biggest accomplishments. I climbed a mountain, not just once, but every day for an entire week. And considering that a year and a half beforehand, I couldn't even walk without having to use a cane, it was amazing. So I went to this conference, and my group went out to lunch before presenting, and our professor decided to grab a round of beers for everybody. I was like, all right, well, I've got about 6 months sober. Just one should be okay. I'll be all right. But that's when the phenomenon was triggered once again. And it led me sneaking away from everybody and going to the store and pretty much hiding behind the conference building getting drunk. Wasn't my best moment in life. But I still presented my research, but I was stumbling all over myself and really embarrassed myself and everyone that was with me. I was really upset. So at this point, I was probably at my rock bottom. nothing was going right. My husband, my husband of 1 year, decided that he wanted to leave me. I was about to get fired from work because I couldn't stay sober. I was miserable. I even had an office on campus where I would sneak in there at night and drink just to do a little bit more research on that alcoholism, you know. But at this point, I didn't want to be me anymore. I didn't want to be alive. So I was driving around doing my ritual like I did all the time. But I had this great idea to just drive off the mountain. So I did. I came to when a lady was standing over at me, screaming at me and praying over me just to wake up. I couldn't feel my legs, and there was so much glass in my head from hitting the windshield that I was covered in blood. I was taken to the hospital where they told me that I broke my neck. I decided to reach out to a couple of my professors and let them know what was going on, because the next day I was supposed to be walking a bunch of kids around the museum that I ran at school. This kind of helped me figure out that people actually cared and they actually loved me. A girl that I worked with closely in the museum, she ended up dropping everything and like ran straight to the hospital to come see me. But I'd already been transferred to another one that could actually handle the neck, and they kind of thought I was going to be paralyzed or something there for a while. But that really meant a lot to me. I didn't really have anybody that showed me that they cared, I guess. And to even think that I actually had a friend. But everyone was really upset with me, but they still surrounded me with love because they knew that that's what I needed to feel at that point. So I was very thankful for it. At this point, I was scared to drink again. The night before court for the DUI, I found out that I was pregnant. It was the best day of my life. I finally had something besides myself to stay sober for. My sponsor at the time took me to court, and we kind of got to talking about maybe I wasn't really an alcoholic, maybe I just was really bad at coping with trauma. Day after court, my husband and I packed up the house and moved back here to be surrounded by family. I managed to stay sober throughout my pregnancy, which I fought tooth and nail. I hadn't been going to meetings, but I was starting to get to the point where I needed one. It was my five month sobriety, and I went to go pick up a chip, but that group only did the 3, 6, 9 in 1 year, so I was pissed. So I didn't want to go back. Whatever. But my pregnancy was hard. I was miserable. I was hospitalized for the last month of it and spent another 3 weeks there once my son was born. I was about a month shy of being sober for 2 years, and I decided that I wanted to join the mommy wine scene. Then that turned into much more. I started going out with girls after work for a couple of drinks, and I was trying really hard to control everything. And at first it wasn't that bad, but I'm sure if you asked my husband, he'd tell you a completely different story. I was a hot mess. It went right back to kind of where I was. So all of that lasted probably about 4 months, and then I ended up getting a possession of marijuana charge. 4 hours away from home, and I hadn't even smoked pot in, I couldn't even tell you how long at this point. So there again, I was mad. The court was set for 2 weeks later, and I drank from sunup until I blacked out. Every day. The morning of my 30th birthday, and 2 days before court, I decided I needed help again. And I told my husband that as soon as I got back, I was going back to AA. That I couldn't do this anymore, but knowing me, needed one last hurrah. It was great. I went to Roanoke for court and got wasted the night before. I remember leaving the bar and kind of doing like one of those foxhole prayers where it's like, God, please just get me out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. Y'all know the story. Well, I ended up crashing my mom's car that night. I came to when an officer was asking me to get out of the car to do a failed sobriety test, and I told him, don't even bother. Just go ahead and take me to jail. So he did. And I woke up the next morning in a turtle suit. So I don't know if you've ever seen one, but it's like the green Velcro little smock that they put on you. I guess when you want to, you tell them that you want to kill yourself or hurt yourself, they put you in it. So that was my night. But yeah, every part of my body was pretty much exposed. But there was not a scratch on me. The officer that came up to talk to me told me that he he didn't know how I was still walking. And yeah, most people would have been pretty upset after waking up in jail like that, but not me. I was actually kind of relieved. I sat there on that middle bench, calmer than I think I've ever felt before, trying to figure out what was going on. It wasn't even worth it. I just sat there and thanked God. So I ended up having to go to jail for, at that point it was for a week. And I met a few ladies that were really nice and they were in recovery as well. They invited me to come over and sit with them for their Bible study and their recovery meetings. I'd never read the Bible before or gone to church, anything like that. I was always told that God hated me and that's why my life was hell. So a higher power never existed. But sitting at that table, I knew that there was a power greater than myself that was helping me out. As soon as I got bailed out, I had like the most uncomfortable ride home. My husband in the front seat, my dad in the driver's seat. No one was speaking. It was the quietest four-hour trip I've ever been on in my life. But that day, I got out on a Wednesday, and my husband took me to Expect a Miracle. And I sat there, and I was greeted with love and acceptance once again by people I had never met before, but they knew exactly who I was. I found a sponsor that had an amazing relationship with God, and I wanted that relationship. I needed it. I even started going to church every week. I was planning on getting baptized. So I ended up having to do my 30-day jail sentence. And then after I got out of jail, I started going to an outpatient rehab that helped teach me how to love myself again. That friend that I met in college that came running to me, she came running to me again. She came from Williamsburg every morning to take me to rehab 3 days a week and to watch my two-year-old son. Without her, I honestly don't know where I'd be right now, because going to that outpatient rehab would have never happened. But then after that, COVID hit. Rehab was cut short. I was still going to a few meetings on Zoom, but it wasn't the same, and especially when you have a curious two-year-old that always wants to be next to you and sees that you're on a camera and you're talking to people. He was always right there with me, so it was really hard to concentrate on actually what was going on in the meeting. But I kept going strong. Life was going really well. I spent a lot of time out in nature since you couldn't really go out places. And nature has always been like a heaven on earth for me, so it was great. I felt centered. But I wasn't reaching out to anybody, and I stopped reaching out to that sponsor. And then after a while, I just felt kind of embarrassed to even attempt to. So I let my ego get the best of me. And then last summer, my son had some pretty scary medical issues, and my cravings to drink were coming back. Thankfully, meetings were opening up around the same time. I was trying so hard to stay sober, but I was absolutely miserable. Since church always used to lift my spirit, we were about to start going back. We made a commitment with one of my friends, and the night before, my son ended up having his first asthma attack. My friend ended up calling me. She went to church, but warned me not to watch that morning service because it was filled with a lot of judgment and a lot of hate, and was once again told that God didn't love me. And this was terrifying for me. I knew that the only thing that was keeping me sober this time around was my spiritual awakening that I had when I woke up in jail. I wasn't angry at God. I was angry at the person delivering their own personal message, because I knew for a fact that I was loved. And I was talking to someone in the rooms about needing to find a new church, and we got to talking about God. And he told me that his God could keep him sober, but he'd also get me drunk. And for some reason, that always kind of like, that stuck out to me. It kind of dawned on me that I was using someone else's higher power as my own. And maybe that's why I was having so many cravings. In the chapter to the Gnostics, it states that we discovered that we need not to consider another conception of God. Our conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we emitted a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, underlying the totality of things, we began to feel possessed of a new sense of power and direction. So I don't really know. I don't really have my higher power figured all out. But as long as I'm willing to be open-minded and take certain steps, I'll see the results. Since my cravings were coming back, or since I was having such intense cravings a few months before, I decided I needed to start back at step one. I started working the steps with someone new that has been taking me through the big book, word by word, sentence by sentence. It's been really helpful to start back over. I've learned a lot about AA and a lot about myself. I finally feel that old peace that my friend was talking about. A lot of things have changed since then, or since my first time around in AA. I'm finally starting to understand the program a little bit better and to understand myself. And it's been amazing. I now have a great relationship with my husband. I have an amazing 4-year-old. That's my world. And without AA, I honestly don't know where I would be. Or where anything would be at this point. But thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Elise, for sharing your story with us. It takes a lot of courage. Did I leave this on or turn it off?